get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
That would be Nicole Honstedt sitting in for Audrey Mason. We do have Ed Stoven. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great.
This segment's brought to you by Alpha Site Logistics, serving the Imperial Valley for over 20 years. And if you ever need to do an event out there, you are definitely going to need portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more. You can call them at 760-352-8383, or you can go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/Alpha Logistics. Make sure you tell them you heard it right here on SDORC Dirt Radio. You might get a discount. So how are you guys doing in the oven today?
Oh, we're doing great.
Because I broke out my $5 fan.
We got the fan, the AC running. Everything's
going
great.
Yeah, let's cool off this little room here.
And it's only 79 degrees, so we're doing really well. Well, Audrey's not in today. She's got some, graduation stuff?
Some party. I know that.
Is it a birthday party or a graduation?
It's probably a little bit of both, but that's beside the point. We got a full show for you today. You know, Ed's got his paperwork. Nicole's got her paperwork. So who wants to start?
Well, we both want to start and talk about the Baja 500. Today is the last day of competition. A lot of the racers are coming into the finish line right now.
That's true.
And so I was online. And so there's two different sites that you can go to. There's scoremediahouse.com. And that actually shows live shows. You just have to become a registered viewer. All it does is take your info. And that way you can log on to all the live shows. What's great about these live shows is they show pit crew. They show what it's like in the pits. It shows what it's like in the garages. It shows what it's like. They do interviews with different teams. So it's really cool to see the in and outs of the Baja 500.
It's a behind the scenes of things that you don't normally see.
Right.
And because you really don't get to see the actual race in action except for bits and pieces. But the behind the scenes is almost as exciting as the race itself.
Yeah, it's exciting because you get to know the racers. You get to know the crews behind the racers. And because it's a joint effort, you know, this isn't just one guy coming out with his rig. You know, you need a whole entire team. So that's a great site. There's also an app, which is the Score Off-Road Racing app. And you can also download that, which will take you to score-international.com, which has a live tracking feature. What's great about the live tracking feature is that you can see the main map, you can see the leaderboard, you can see the race flow, and the mobile table, which is the timestamps of where they are located and their current speeds. So I love the interactive feature on this. The Rebel Rally has an interactive tracking feature just like this. So it's really neat to look at and see where all the racers are.
Do you remember when there was a time when you didn't have that?
Right. Yeah.
And so all you
doesn't
had to
seem that long ago.
Well, you had to wait till the race was over.
Yes, exactly.
And then it was, you know, overload. You know, they put 20 pounds of info on you in a heartbeat. But this is, I think, one of the best. It's one of the things about social media. I think I can say I like.
Yeah, and technology.
And technology.
Put these GPS units inside these rigs, and that way you can see where they're going and if they're en route or not en route, which was interesting to
see.
The
old days, somebody would get lost, and they would be lost
for a long time.
You know, sometimes they would find somebody that lives out in the sticks, and they would just hang out with them till they could figure out what to do.
Right. I mean, they have chase crews that usually run along and take photographs and other things like that and have media aboard. But there isn't one chase crew for each vehicle usually. So
Now they can pinpoint right where you are.
Yeah, I think it's a great feature to have. It also gives some reassurance. If you were to wreck, they could say, hey, this vehicle has not moved within the last hour. Let's go check on them.
And you can find them via GPS. Mm-hmm. But without GPS, if somebody gets lost, they get lost.
Yeah.
There's no way to chase them down. So, you know, that's a good thing about it. And like you said, it's good for advertisers because that, you know, once they know you're following a specific driver or all of them, you know, they get their exposure too. And that's what they need to keep supporting, you know, off-road.
Yeah. And also, if you go to their websites, you can also see if you want to compete or race next year, you can go in and read all the information on requirements. It's a lot of forms on that website. Mm-hmm. So you can see like how to get across the border, how to get your rig across the border, how many people you can bring, all the logistics around competing in the SCORE Baja 500.
So that brings up a question, Nicole. Since you've run the Rebel, have you ever had any aspirations to run the 500 or the 1000?
I would love to. The problem is the rigs are so expensive.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's expensive to upkeep them because
one
race you
support,
could
the support
yeah,
factor
yeah so yeah. I mean, you're destined, in my opinion, when you off-road, you will break something.
Well,
especially
yeah.
if you're off-roading it as hard as the Baja 500 and you're going fast and you're hitting these rocks at, you know, fast speeds. And sometimes you don't even know what's around the bend, you know, and these cars are going so fast. They could hit a rut. They could hit a rock. They could hit.
Yeah. And it's not just the rig. It's
right.
a support group.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not like you bring Ed and his dog.
And most of these people are volunteer.
Right.
So they volunteer for their team. So they don't, it's not that
but
you're going to
you still
got to
feed
paid.
Them. You
right.
got to put them in, you know, you got to put them in up at night, you know, or make them sleep out.
Yeah, but I as a racer or as a driver, I would love to
sure.
compete. That
or
would
even
be
an
so
navigator.
Much fun. I would love to. It would be a very cool experience.
Yeah, bucket list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely a bucket list.
Since you got hooked on the Rebel, then you know.
Yeah, and remember, the Rebel is not a race for speed. That one's more of accuracy and finding checkpoints and orienteering
and navigating. I think that's a strong positive to run the 500 and the 1000. The fact that you do know how to find checkpoints, fact that you do know how to do time management and know that it, you know, I always joke and say you just don't want to Robbie Gordon it, you know, where you just hammer down until you break. I mean, there's got to be some intelligence involved, and not saying he's not, folks. Don't be throwing the hate mail at me, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, break,
you know,
or win is his,
there's
his
lot
strategy.
More, yeah,
but
there's
sometimes
a lot
you
more
have
job.
To. Sometimes you have to put the pedal to the metal in order to win.
Right.
You got to risk it all.
So and sometimes
strategy.
Slow is fast.
Because
like
in
you,
some
you
of these
back off a little, you're more likely to finish.
Right.
You'll be behind people, but the, you know, the Robbie Gordons may be on the side of the trail with a
right.
broken
whatever.
Vehicle.
But in some of these races, it's within seconds. So
oh yeah.
So that's if you just laid well, up off of the, you know, accelerator for just a few seconds, that could mean your win.
Yeah, that could.
But you know, I've talked to people that have ran it, and they all have time management on their mind. You know, they know when they can run hard,
right?
And they know when they shouldn't run hard. But then there's the guys or girls out there that just hammer down.
Oh yeah,
you get more credit when you finish the race.
Kinda.
You know, like if you're running out in the lead, and then you know your vehicle breaks in half. You don't get the same credit for just finishing third overall.
I think that's the same in the Rebel Rally, as long as you cross the finish line. I mean, it's a 10-day challenge
yeah.
of, you know, physical
Ten
agility.
Days.
Well, yeah,
know,
tech inspection and starts, yeah. And the so it's physically exerting. It's emotionally exerting. A lot of these racers are not getting enough sleep. Process the information. Some of them are not getting bathroom breaks, of course not, when you're running a race like this. So you got to put all those things into consideration. They all have an impact on you as the racer and you as the navigator.
And we're literally saying impact, because that's probably one of the best words. All right, we're going to take a real quick break. This is SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, and this segment is brought to you by
Wayne Miller Mobile Tires at 619-596-2800. They are there for all your tire and automotive needs. If you need an oil change, do you need your brakes done? Do you need an alignment? Or do you need your transmission serviced? They can do it all. So give them a call at Wayne Miller Mobile Tires at 619-596-2800.
All right. Hey, we were talking a little bit about the Baja 500 that's going on right now, and they're slowly but surely probably making their way to the finish line. And Nicole was talking about, because she has navigated in the Rebel, you know, the challenges of, you know, driving a vehicle, you know, 500 miles, 1,000 miles, if you choose mm-hmm. that one. But then we're going to flip it over to Ed, being the two-wheel, you know,
king
guru that he is. On a motorcycle versus a car, are the challenges the same or are they worse for a bike?
Well, they're very different.
Yeah.
On the motorcycle, fitness is important because you're going a long distance, and riding a motorcycle fast on rough terrain is physically demanding.
Yeah. And aren't you standing up a lot of the time?
You stand a lot. Down there, you probably stand half the time. And, you know, the way the Baja Peninsula is compared to years gone by, there's a lot more whoop-de-doos out there. And you need to stand up in the whoop-de-doos.
Yeah, that's your knees and
on
your
hips bike. So you're taking the...
shock.
Your shock absorbers called knees.
Or your legs.
Are taking a lot of abuse.
Now, you know what's funny? In the Baja, for the first 40 years of Baja 500 and 1000, the motorcycles always won the overall by a large amount of time. Like a 30 minutes, 60 minutes.
Really?
Even like 2 hours, I can remember.
Why do you suppose that was?
The bikes were just... much faster.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the advent of the trophy trucks and they got to be reliable and really fast that they began to beat the bikes.
Gotcha.
And now they're beating the bikes by 20 or 30 minutes.
Now the bikes go off first or they go off last?
The bikes, I think they go first.
Yeah, I think they go first.
I thought they did.
They give them some time between them. Nobody on a motorcycle likes a trophy truck to pull up behind
them. Crawling up your taillight.
Because they're not nice when they pass.
No.
You know, and
they leave a dust ball.
I was thinking the dust.
The headlights, if it's at night, the lights are blinding.
Yeah. You could land a jet with those lights that they have on those off-road trucks.
LED
lights. The lights are bad. But the motorcycles, and by the way, most... of the teams, they trade drivers, both in the four-wheel vehicles and the two-wheel vehicles. They typically, a motorcycle team will go about 150 miles per driver.
Per
rider, yeah. So maybe, or 100 miles to 200 miles, depending on the section. If it's a rough section, it may be a shorter stint. If it's a smoother section, they may go longer. And there are a few nutcases out there that solo these races.
Well, I was going to say, back in the day, there was a lot of solo, whether you were in the two-wheel, four-wheel, or motorcycle event. Because they didn't know any better. And, you know, they just said, okay, it's a race. I'm in it. I'm going.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine riding that fast and that far, 500 miles by yourself, going fast as you can.
With no communication.
And with no communication. So in the 90s, I used to race in Baja. Every year I would do the Tecate Enduro, which was 250 kilometers, 150 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tighter terrain. It was slow. And it would take about 7.5 hours riding as hard as I can.
Wow.
So it was an enduro.
My body hurts just thinking about it.
So we had to maintain 24 miles per hour. And I never bothered with a clock or a speedometer or an odometer because I knew there was no way I could stay on time. I just rode as hard as I could, and I never burned a checkpoint. So I did a few of them, and I brought one of my buddies down. And I used to finish. So there would be 120 riders, and there would be like 35 to 40-something riders would finish. Everybody else would hour out or quit or break down or something.
Right.
They're very difficult events. By the way, in these kind of enduros, if you arrive at a checkpoint an hour late, you're disqualified.
Right. What about if you get there early?
Well, then you get extra points. So you get 2 points for each minute early and 1 point for each minute late. So you don't want to burn a checkpoint. You want to zero it, but you'd rather be a little late.
Yeah.
And once in a while, you'd see a guy going really slow because he knows he's ahead.
Yeah.
But not down there very much. One of those, I came upon a rider who was, it was right at the end. I was exhausted, and I wasn't in contention for any prize or anything. And I see a guy pointing to his gas tank. We're like 3 miles from the finish. So 147 miles and 7 hours of riding. So, okay, I'll give him some gas. Turns out it's Larry Rosler. He was riding a KLR 250 or 300 four-stroke
tank.
Just used a stock tank, 50-mile loop, riding as hard as you can.
And yeah.
I had to borrow a gas tank. I used Freddie Willard's tank on my bike. So I brought my friend Jeff to do the race, and I would finish in the upper 30s. Well, Jeff's a good rider, and I helped raise him. His father died when he was 12, and I met him when he was 14, and I would take him with his mini bike, and we'd go riding and kind of brought him up as a rider. So Jeff finished 14th in the Ducati Enduro.
That's great.
He was hauling. He was on that day. So a Baja 500 team invited him to race with him. It's Freddie Willard. I forget the other guys' names. But I went to the team meeting with them, and I loaned him my XR 600 to pre-run.
Mm-hmm.
I took him down there and then, you know, helped him with the pre-run. So they had a four-man team. They did the race. Jeff rode through the pine forest. Now, people think of Baja as being a desert. But in the middle of the peninsula, there's mountains and there's pine trees.
Really?
So Jeff, he said he held off Ty Davis for 30 miles through the pine forest. And Ty Davis was the winning rider on the winning team. He was the fastest guy.
Wow.
So Jeff said, yeah, I held off Ty Davis for 30 miles. And
held him off or held him up?
Well, he tried to pass him, but he couldn't pass him. So, yeah, he held him up. But,
a little
you
bit.
You know, that's racing.
That's racing.
So Jeff's team, they won first 250 in the Baja 500.
Wow.
And Jeff said there's no effing way he's going to ever race down there again.
Oh, really?
It was so scary. So they had a YZ250, and they had an enduro gearing put in it, and that thing would run 110 miles an hour. So imagine on a dirt road you barely know. He said his goggles were pressed against his face. His sleeves were back to his elbow. He just couldn't believe how fast he was going and how scary it was to go that fast.
Nanosecond.
He did fall and hurt his ankle, and it bothered him for some time after. But he was able to bring it in. So they put together a team. And so, I mean, what a wonderful experience to win the Baja 500 on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, you got it. One of these days, you especially need to come into Racer Radio or at least listen to it. When we bring in some of the icons, you know, of motorcycle racing.
If you bring some of those guys, let me know. Cause
Lars Larson.
Oh, like now you're going back. That guy's.
He still runs.
He's been fast for, I mean, I say decades, but a lot of decades.
He still races.
Like 50 years.
He was just out of Glen Helen and won the senior division. Yeah. On a Husqvarna, which that's where he came from.
I mean,
and then who's the other guy? He's a real big heavy set guy now. Marty Tripe.
Marty Tripe. And I'm friends with Marty.
Yeah, we had Marty in the house. And oh, my God, between Marty and Smokin' Joe. I don't know if you know. I can't think of Smokin' Joe's last name, but he now owns Heartland's Meat. But he, I get these old guys in here, start talking. You know, we're talking wheel travel of 3 and 4 inches, and we're talking, you know, reliability on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe
it's like
an
3.
Okay, well, you're even being
I mean, it's hard to make those bikes work right. And the best riders in the old days were also very good mechanics.
Right.
The bikes were not very good, and the old guys who were successful, they were very good at working on bikes.
Right.
And there's kids today who are fast who don't know how to adjust their chain.
Couldn't even change the oil.
You know, Malcolm Smith was a fantastic mechanic.
Right.
He was not only an exceptional rider, but he was really good at making the motorcycle work for him. Mm-hmm. Not only just fixing it, but adjusting it so that it could go fast.
Yeah, right. I was going to say tuning it in.
Yeah, the tuning, when you get fast, that tuning is very important.
I've got a challenge for you. It'd be fun. You need to, some Saturday, take a ride to Temecula on a bike and go to the Adolfo Winery.
Oh, is that the one that has the
200 or 125 Italian motorcycles nailed to the wall.
Italian.
Wow.
Motorcycles.
All Italian. Everything's Italian. Wow. They do MotoGP parties. So when the MotoGP is on TV.
I'd love to watch MotoGP.
Well, you need to go on.
This is an off weekend.
Odofo Winery. O-D-O-F-O Winery. And look at their schedule. And then take a ride up there. And I tell you, you will be blown away. Because they're big GP fans.
I've had some Italian motorcycles with, I won't say dodgy reliability, but they had their mechanical challenges.
Yeah.
I had a SWM and a Fantic trials bikes. I used to ride observe trials to get these weird bikes. You'd find, like, the support is a guy in Pennsylvania. That's the only guy in the whole continental U.S. is one guy, like Miller Motorcycles, you'd have to go to.
Well, they make you a better rider when you ride all these different rigs, you know, that doing different things.
If I had to coach a young guy to be, say, a motocross star, I would say you have to ride observed trials. That will improve your game. You're riding so much.
Well, that's a good recommendation.
Anything
to get more experience on the bike.
And it's a different kind, like, for racing motocross, you want to ride motocross, and you need to ride motocross to be a good motocrosser. But if you put in trials time, you will become a better motocrosser. You will stand up more. You'll have better steering and control. And it's a weird thing. A lot of stars, motocross riders, rode trials. Marty Tripes rode trials. Roger DeCoster rode trials. I can't remember, but the list goes on.
So going back to the Baja, what are some of the key factors for a motorcycle to succeed?
Well, you got to have a good team. You got to have a good bike. And, you know, for pit support, we talked about all the challenges. Well, you can hire a pit support. I know for the motorcycles, there's a group called Mag7. And I forget what you pay them, but like $700 or $1,000.
And are these local pit crews that are already down in Baja?
What they'll do is they will have a pit at every 50 miles for the whole race. They will have an official pit area, right? And they'll be set up there, and they'll have gas and tools and water and stuff. And they'll be there all. So if it's a 500-mile race, they'll have 10 pits ready for you.
Yeah, I guess that's one concern is, do they have the parts for your vehicle?
Well, they have some standard parts, and you can give them stuff.
Okay.
So you can plan,
extra belts, depending on what you're riding.
A lot of times they'll plan a wheel change, like halfway through the race. Like, I want to have a new back tire after 250, 300 miles. Yeah. So they'll say, okay, this will be the big pit stop. We'll have a bike stand.
Yeah.
We'll hop off. We'll put your bike on a stand. We'll not only put gas in it, we'll check the oil. We'll change the back wheel.
And you can change it pretty quick.
They can change a wheel in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. All right.
Sharp guys.
Let's take a quick break. We come back. Got any news out there? Off-road news?
It's been a quiet week. And they will be on.
Well, that might be a good thing.
No news is good news, usually in our world.
All right, folks. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
You don't have to donate.
Push over.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
That's our good friend Nicole Honstead. She didn't bring her answer kids in today.
I did not.
They're trying to wean them away from iPads for the summer. I want a report in about 2 weeks if the kids are either building projects out back or are they freaking out.
Oh, they've freaked out, but we've had a bunch of water fights and
water balloon fights is a good thing.
And with the extra balloons, we blew them up and played volleyball inside the house. So they're finding ways to keep themselves
volleyball
busy
in the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? There are
balloons. They can't.
There are tons of ways to really have fun without an iPad.
Yeah, I changed my oil yesterday in my Jeep, and I got oil on my hand when I was working on the Jeep, and I started chasing them around the neighborhood. because they didn't want grease or oil on them. Yes, they were freaking out. But it was a lot of fun. We did that for about an hour and a half. And I think my kid has not ran that much the entire school year, the entire COVID year of distance PE. So this was, I was glad to see that they were running around.
That's so funny.
But we should talk about that this show is
brought
to you.
Before we do that, let's talk about who sponsors it.
That's what I was
saying. Oh, there you go. Our good buddy, Chris Wiley.
Chris Wiley at PRMI. Primary Residential Mortgage Inc. He can deal with all your mortgage needs, residential mortgages, refinancing. So give him a call at 619-722-1303 and he can help you out.
Absolutely. All right. That's cool. Yeah. So, hey, we got an event coming up for SDORC, and that would be...
We do our Lost Lizard Annual Fun Run. It is a family-friendly run. It's approximately 20 miles around Superstition. Oh, gosh, it's so exciting. It's so much fun. I've done it every year and bring my whole family out, and we camp out in the desert, and I take my Jeep. And actually, you can take any OHV vehicle or off-road ATV, right?
It could be street legal, like a Jeep or a truck.
Yeah, motorcycles, drive, four-wheelers,
Baja Bug,
Razors.
It could even be a little hot rod like yours.
I actually
could be a guy on a dirt bike.
Yeah, I took my side-by-side 1 year.
I do it on my motorcycle and my three-wheeler with Max on my back. So Max is a large stuffed lizard.
He is our mascot.
And he's our mascot. And if you find Max out on the course, like on my back, you get a free raffle ticket. So I'd have Max, and I'd ride around, and I'd stop at the checkpoint, and people would see and run over and get their free raffle ticket.
So it's exciting for the kids to keep their eye out. And he had him on a motorcycle.
Plenty of adults wanted their raffle tickets.
Oh, I bet.
It's not just the kids.
Well, and that's because of the amazing raffle prizes that are there. Do you know any of them that you could speak on?
Well, like a set of tires.
A certificate. Set of tires is great because you can always use tires. Yeah.
Everyone needs tires.
Yeah, we have mini bikes.
We have
kids.
Mini bikes.
Yeah. Every year we have at least two mini bikes in the raffle.
I think we always have a winch, a worn winch.
Okay. Yeah. Worn winches are wonderful.
I mean, if you've ever been stuck and thank goodness I have a winch and just winch yourself out or your friend, that's a bonus. So there's...
Yeah, we have services.
How many prizes? It takes like an hour and a half to give away everything.
So we give away, there's also services. I think 1 year we had a whole Polaris service, which was, an oil change, a tune-up, all of that.
Oh, the filters.
Yeah.
East County Transmission gives us a transmission service.
Yeah.
Which I got years back and I had my transmission fixed. It turns out they're really nice guys. Like, that's a transmission shop I would trust.
Sure.
And I would recommend. Amco, forget it.
Oh, yeah.
But San Diego, East County Transmission, I like those guys.
Oh, yeah, they're really good, and they stand behind. Well, you know, you can make a whole lot more money by being honest than you can be by being a crook.
Absolutely. Because people come back.
Everybody knows you're a crook. You know, but if you're honest and you cut them a deal, or let's say,
fair.
Your vehicle's not shifting right, maybe a service would fix it. Instead of them rolling in and saying, yep, you need a $3,500 transmission.
And usually our raffle prizes, you get to pick which prize you want. So you get to put your ticket into
That's
the bucket of
point.
Your choice. And that way you can go all in or just maybe a few.
You can spread it around to a lot of different ones.
So if
there's
you don't
something
have
you really want.
Right. If you don't have a Polaris, and you don't need a Polaris service, say you have a Jeep or something and you'd rather have the tires, yes, you can put all your raffle tickets into that bucket. So it's a great opportunity to win something at the raffle. The run is actually a poker style run. So at each checkpoint,
five checkpoints.
Yep.
Each checkpoint, you get a playing card, and whoever has the best five card stud poker hand, the best hand, the second best hand, and the worst hand. They get a prize.
Yeah, so you can win a prize.
Sometimes you're going
that
for
way.
That worst hand.
Yeah, you can win a prize that way, or you can win a prize at the raffle.
I would win that.
Yeah, and then you just want to go ahead and go to sdorc.org and go ahead and register, pre-register.
We've had a few registers.
Yes,
and if you register ahead of time, when you go there, you'll have your shirt ready. You just give us your name, we hand you a bag, and you're good to go.
And it has all your stuff in it.
line, and there's no figuring out how to do all this mm-hmm. stuff. We just hand you your bag, everything's in there, and you take off on the route.
We also want everyone to check into base camp and sign our waivers prior to the run. The run is not a race, so it's not about speed at all. No, this is, like I said, a family-friendly event. You take it at your own pace.
So yeah, it's a marked route. So there's ribbons and arrows as you go. And from each arrow or ribbon, you can see the next marker.
Mm.
Like, we try to make it so that you're not going to get lost.
Right. You're not going to fall off the route.
Because some people are not accustomed to following routes like that.
Right. Plus, you have a mild, or you have a beginner's, a mild, and a wild, right?
No.
We
have one
have
route.
Two.
And then we have some hard routes
off. So it's one main route. Yeah. Right, and then we have the harder.
The green route is everybody's route, and then the red offshoots are harder.
Gotcha. And if you see a red ribbon and an arrow pointing that way, you have to think twice.
Yeah, if you're a hardcore, go for it. If you're not,
don't go for it.
Yeah, definitely stick to the green route.
Maybe not.
It's just about 20 miles, so it's good at least an hour or so, right, on the trail?
I think an hour is the quickest.
Yeah.
I think, like in a Jeep, it would probably take a couple hours.
So you'll be back for lunch?
And then...
If you head out early.
Because you're stopping at 5 checkpoints, it takes a little while to get through those. So it'll take a few hours.
And each checkpoint usually has some sort of fun activity.
A game.
Yeah, a game of some sort. So we've had a bunch of different off-road clubs that they'll come out and they'll have a planned event, which usually is an activity of some sort. So it entertains the kids, it entertains the grown-ups, it entertains everybody. So.
And if you get the game, you get a raffle ticket.
Yes.
So we've had like the typical throw the beanbag through the thing.
Oh, yeah.
We had one that was charades. That was a lot of fun.
Was it?
Yeah. Diana Mead and Amy Granite, they did charades.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
One person, they would whisper something to somebody, and then they would have to do it. They'd have to act it, and then their friends had to guess it.
So
like, they'd whisper Michael Jackson, and then you'd see someone try to moonwalk.
Yeah, and fall over.
Yeah, so they're a lot of fun. And then we're also still planning for the event. So we do our monthly Lost Lizard planning meeting, which will be held this Tuesday at the Casino Inn at 6 p.m. And the Casino Inn is in Alpine, California. So if you're in the area or if you just want to come out and help us plan the event, we would appreciate all the help that we can get. It takes a lot of volunteers to run the event day of as well. So we would love for you to come out to these meetings, help us pre-plan it, and then come out to the event. And
the food's delicious at Casino Inn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
wow.
Yeah, if you just
want to
come
treat.
Out and talk.
We'll be out on the patio. Yep. It's... Tuesday is karaoke night,
so we're outside. Inclined.
You want to go inside and sing a few songs, but we'll be outside where it's quieter, and the weather will be just perfect.
It's going to be hot.
And how much is it for each vehicle?
Oh, my God. That's right. So, we have different prices because the early bird is cheaper than the day of.
So remember, you save money if you go online right now and register. So
where do you go online at?
At sdorc.org. And you can just click on the Lost Lizard Run or its Fun Run, and then it will take you to our the information page and has our coordinates of our base camp. It has all the information you're going to need. It has the registration page, and it says you can register at the event for $45 pre-entry, but the early bird has opened now. So I would recommend you go and purchase the early bird package, which is
and your T-shirt,
$55, I believe. Early bird entry is $35, but with the T-shirt is $55.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's somebody out there that's got a collection of all the T-shirts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. The only thing is extra larges and higher will be an additional $5. So sorry, big guys.
A couple bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, big guys. You got to cover that territory.
Well,
yeah.
It's just the cost of making the shirts right now. So.
Rick Moore and I have shirts from the third Lost Lizard.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was the first one we did shirts.
And what's great about these shirts is I come across people that are wearing these shirts and the
one right there.
Ed's wearing the 15th annual one. And I come across these people that are wearing like the third annual, and I'm like, "Oh, I wish
How'd
I was
you
there."
Get that?
Like, yeah.
I know.
And they have all these memories that
did
they want to share.
Did you know I
about.
Chaired the first and second Lost Lizard Fun Runs?
Did you really?
Wow.
Yeah, way back.
So what's the difference between then and now, would you say?
You know what we were going to do? We were going to have a motorcycle race. We were going to, I know, it was weird, but Harold Soans, our president, wanted to have a motorcycle race. So we had a planning committee and we were having meetings. And then Harold comes in and says, oh, we can't have the race. There's a conflict and we just can't do it. And so I said, well, we have all this together. Why don't we, instead of having a race, let's have a poker run. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So we... Okay, it's my idea, so now I got to be in charge of it.
Of course.
And that was before I was really an important guy with SDRC. I think I was vice president then, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the president did everything. Like, Harold was retired, and he did a lot of stuff, and I had a job, and I didn't do that much.
Well, as a mom of four, I like that it's this type of event and not a motorcycle race, so
yeah,
I appreciate
well,
the change.
Well, we like it. And so it was all I could do to pull together something I'd never done before. We had about 100 entries. We made a couple $1,000s. We had a really, and Harold did the route, and I didn't like the route. It was too easy. I actually did it in a two-wheel drive SUV with a friend, which is, it shouldn't be that easy. So I did the first and second, and then before the third, Harold passed away from a heart attack, and I became president. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in deep. Now, in those days, we had a lawyer on retainer, $4,500 a month. We had a state lobbyist, $1,000 a month. We had a federal lobbyist, $1,000 a month. 14 directors. We had a car we were raffling, a Chenoweth Exodus off-road V8 car, and a big trailer. We had a lot going on. I was like, oh my God, I was in over my head. But thank goodness there was a lot of great people on the board that helped.
Right.
So the third one, the third Lost Lizard, somebody else took over. Oh, is it time to go?
Yeah, getting close.
So just tell them, what do all the proceeds go to? So
all the money goes to helping keep land open for off-road recreation. Like, I'm president, but I don't get any money.
Right.
And
not
I'm
unless
secretary,
I get like reimbursed.
And,
for
and I don't get any money.
Yeah.
But one
we
other
do
thing,
this because
I want to
keep.
I want to throw out there. Yeah, I want to throw out there. If you can't make it to the event, but yet you want to support the event, register.
Yeah, register or become a member. Yeah.
Or just become a member.
Yeah,
because we're a membership organization.
And it's only $25 a year.
How bad is that?
Yeah, nothing out of pocket, pretty much. But it goes towards our lobbyists and legislation.
And some of our activities. You know, we have insurance. Yeah. We have storage. We have this and that.
Okay, so let's take a quick break. And we come back, we got one more 15-minute segment right here on STORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
So we're just, we had an unusual experience last night. Mr. Stoven went to Barona Speedway. Now, had you ever been to the track before?
So I raced a motorcycle flat track there in the 90s.
Okay.
And I it's like the same exact everything, but... Last night was a car race, and I'd never been to a car race, so it was neat.
The little
it was
kids
different.
In the infield,
you know. So we got there about six, and we watched like I think one of the last heat races, and then they went off the track, and then they brought in these kids in these little tiny cars with these little engines.
Yeah. Aw, so cute.
And I mean, if you're like a 7 or 8 year old, and maybe you have low self esteem. And they put you in that thing and you go out there and race with those guys. What a boost to a kid's ego.
Guys, I mean, and girls. And you
absolutely
know, but
there's girls out there.
The other beauty of putting your kid in a race car, let's say your kid's not interested in school. You know, they're not focused. Well, you put them in a race car. They get hooked on the race car, and then they have to get their grades up.
I'm nodding yes. You want to race, you got to pull B's or C's or A's.
At least. And they those little kids out there, and they're only going 30, 35 miles
It's not
an hour.
Dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive. Those cars don't take up a lot of space at your house.
And they wear all the safety gear. They have a head and neck restraint system.
Yeah.
They've got to wear a driving suit and a helmet and gloves and boots.
I mean, you know, later in the evening, there's kids walking around in their suits. I mean,
they're
how
so
proud
cute.
Are those kids?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're not
they were out there. And there's a lot of people watching.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like... There's three people. I mean, there's the bleachers are full of people.
Yeah.
And there's people up on the hill,
yeah.
Which I was surprised that people park up on the hill on the east side, and you have a great view, and you're right by your car.
And you can take your motor home, and then if you don't want to go home that night, the track does not charge to leave your motor home overnight.
That's what I love about that. You know how places are so picky about their rules? They're so casual there. So I watched the kids, and that was just fun. and then the kids finished. And while the kids were going, they groomed the track. So the tractor, like, breaks off the top layer and like, aww, puts a new racing surface.
Sure.
And it's you think Zamboni. It's going to be... It's like this. I know it is. It's like the Zamboni,
ice skating rink.
But
it's for dirt. No, it's perfect.
So did you actually get a chance to go down on the track?
I didn't,
because it's not smooth.
And they didn't let me in the pits either.
It's because you didn't buy a pit pass. Well, I didn't buy a pit pass.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to work that out next time. I asked ahead of time to get a media pass, but I was kind of late.
Yeah.
So I'll plan.
Well, let me know next time you want to do that, and I'll just put your name in.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah, because then that way you can get into the pits.
Because I like to go talk to people.
Oh, yeah.
And look at the cars, and there's all kind of interesting things.
There are some real interesting cars that run out there.
Boy. And I mean, I only could see from the stands, but they sure looked interesting.
Yeah.
So the first race was stock-looking cars, mm-hmm, like Camaros and some other cars. And it looked like a Camaro, but I think you could just, like, lift off the body panels.
Mm-hmm.
But they were... And so the wheels are inside the bodywork.
Right.
So what does that mean? That means there's bumping. Like, they're, like, riding right up against each other.
Rubbing is racing.
Fronting and back. And this one guy, number 19 on a Camaro, I don't recall the guy's name, but he was the class of the field. He lapped up to third place, which was kind of amazing. Because other races, the lead group was five cars within 1 second, and they just stayed together the whole race.
Yeah.
So this stock class was interesting. It was 40 laps. And, you know, they have a spin out, and then they got to get it all back together, and it takes a couple laps to get them.
Right.
So that was interesting. The next race was these small cars with big, loud engines, and they have big rear tires.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really different from the stock car. These are open wheel. So now I just happen to know that when you have open wheel, if one tire touches from one car, touches the tire of another car, your car could go end over end. It could roll or flip, so they're more careful. But these cars were really fast.
Did they have wings on top?
These were not the ones with the wings. Those came after.
Mm.
But these cars, it was so cool to see them come into the turn, because before they're in the turn, they're sideways, and they go sliding into the turn.
Right.
And they're not off the gas that much. They let the gas and right back on.
Did you ever see that movie, Cars?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
The cartoon?
Yeah. Well, turning right goes left, because they're doing. They're throwing the tail out. They're turning right to go left. And Lightning McQueen, every time he tried it, he shot off the track and down into the ditch and got stuck.
Oops.
Yeah. You gotta rent that, or I'll bring it in and let you watch it.
I gotta see that.
It's a good one.
So that was exciting. Then those guys came off, and then they had even smaller cars with smaller tires, but they had the big wings on top. Mm-hmm. So they had the big flat sloped wing directly above the driver, and then the high and the low, I don't know what you call those. The flat surface.
Yeah, those wings. are the wing size. But, you know, they're running 1100 Kawasaki.
I knew they were motorcycle engines by the sound. Like, those are four cylinder sport bike engines.
They're
hauling. I can tell.
Yeah, don't ever park your GSX anywhere near the track unless you got a guard standing.
I'll come home. I'll come back, and
where's my motor?
There's a rolling chassis.
Exactly.
Right? There's no engine.
Exactly.
And I know Yamaha makes one of those cars with the R1 engine, mm-hmm, with the Yamaha the sport bike four cylinder, water cooled 16 valve. So watching those guys was fun. They slide also.
Oh yeah.
And they're a hoot to watch. They really move, and they're all a bunch. And
it's kind of like a ballet.
The sound is octaves higher than the previous race.
Sure.
The bigger one, the other one was, and these ones are, that was
because that brings back the motorcycle juices in you when you're
in
that.
I love motorcycles, mm-hmm, even motorcycle engines. There is the next class. I don't know what to call those, but they're bigger, they're flatter, and they have this asymmetrical bodywork on them. And the tires are inside the chassis,
right,
so there's more bumping and grinding. And they're fast. And what's interesting about them is from the from the middle of the turn out, the inside front wheel's in the air.
Yeah, it's a, then they're all cannywampus.
Yeah, they're like the whole thing is flexing, and I don't know.
Makes you wonder how you can drive it. And the driver's sitting in this little tiny compartment with the roof right down on him, with that long nose.
They're low and they're long. I don't. What is that class called?
I'm trying to think. Modifies, I think. It's a modified class. And they run big V8. They run Chevy V8s.
Those are V8s in those things?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. They go fast.
Yeah,
and they slide also.
Oh, yeah. They're and they rub, too. They'll get into each other.
They do rub. And like, I'm just trying to imagine how much force the outside tires into the ground. There's a lot of force because it's a heavy car.
Sure.
I mean, they try to make it light, but when you put a V8 in a car, it's got to be heavy.
That's right. No, and it's, yeah, that's it. That's E-Ticket. I mean, that's cool. What other divisions were there?
So there's a couple divisions of that style of car that, and you could tell they were different. I think the engines were different size or something. But what was funny is after a few of those races, there was a race that looked like stock Hondas and Toyota, just sedans.
Yeah, that's a new class they just came out with. And what that is that's for somebody like you or Nicole that would like to go out and give it a try. They're all front-wheel drive cars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were front-wheel drive.
They're front-wheel drive. They're, like I said, they're Hondas or Nissans. They're very – I mean, you can
probably they're inexpensive. How
$1,500 bucks.
You want to go racing. What do you – oh, is it going – do you have to give up your retirement?
No, no, no.
Or do you – like, oh, but they have a
pink
class
slips?
Here.
Are you, do you race for slips?
Pink slips.
No, yeah, right.
I've been offered that before.
The number 19 car that you mentioned is Eric Evans, and he wins just about every time he goes out.
Oh.
He's building a fleet of these little front-wheel drive import cars. And we're starting to – they're thinking about renting them out to say, like, if you wanted to go out and get
them. Oh, my God, it'd be so fun.
Oh, my gosh. And they are. I mean, a couple hundred bucks
and you're on the track or whatever?
You just got to come up with your own safety gear is basically all you need to do. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't have that available as well. But it's really, really a fun and I think that division is going to really start growing because people are finding out that – and you'd be surprised how many people in the stands say, I would like to try that. And that's how it happens.
The people in the stands would love to race, but they don't have the money or the – you know, it takes a lot to have a real race car. You need space. You need a trailer. You know, you go through all the details. It's expensive. It takes a lot of room.
Takes
a lot of effort. But if you could build a relatively easy car.
And that car, you just leave it on the side of your house. Put a tarp over it. And
no one's going to steal
it. No one's going to steal it. All right, folks. Hey, well, I hope you've enjoyed SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
And don't touch that dial. Responsibly Armed Radio is coming up. We got Judy Wells in the house, Tatiana Whitlock down in Maine, and we are going to have an action-packed show right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
One more time.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.